You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome indeed to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place called Earth. We're glad to have you here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And you need to know that we have a free weekly newsletter. That free weekly newsletter is called the K-Files E-Zine. Now, the K-Files E-Zine is very easy to subscribe to. All you have to do is go over to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get over to the website, all you have to do is look for the little button. It's got red letters, and it says K-Files E-Zine. All right. Click it. And I think it asks a couple of questions. Your first name and your email address, I believe. Anyway, takes a few seconds. And then you're in. Now, there are no strings attached. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. We don't share those the email list with anybody. That means we don't rent it. We don't sell it. We don't give it away. We don't loan it. It's ours. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed to the K-Files E-Zine. It comes out, normally it comes out on Fridays and Saturdays. Once in a while, it'll be Saturdays and Sundays. That's if there's a technical problem or if there's some sort of breaking news that we're waiting on additional information. We may hold it back until Saturday and Sunday. But you get it each weekend, all right? Now, yesterday, here in the United States of America, we celebrated Veterans Day. And I found it quite interesting, a couple of emails that I got. I got one, so this person doesn't need to think that these others are the ones I'm talking. I got one that was quite nice and just wondered, you know, well, what's the deal? You know, why did we have an encore presentation? And, you know, and then it wasn't loaded up for latest show and all that. But I got a couple of them that were really nasty. About the fact that I was not at the microphone, that it was an encore presentation. Well, look, it kind of goes like this. Veterans Day is a holiday, and I don't normally take holidays. I am here on New Year's Eve. I am here on Halloween. I am here on Christmas, if those are on weekdays. I take one day off out of 365. I work 7 days a week. I take one day off, and somebody wants to gripe and complain. Please, the two people that sent those emails, turn the show off. Go listen to something else. Anyway, I'm back. I'm glad to be back. I enjoyed my one day off, and I will likely take another day off sometime in the next 365. Probably not more than one, but I'll take one. Now, what do you think about the idea that not only are there UFOs, I mean, look, there are some people still scratching their heads and trying to figure out what do they believe about UFOs. Okay, well, not only are there UFOs, what would you think about the idea that there are probably hundreds of them in the skies and they engage in battles in near-Earth space? We'll be back to talk about that right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, and we're going to bring him on in just a moment. Ed Grimsley has a story to tell and videos to show that you don't want to miss. But very quickly, a couple of quick announcements. I got an email asking, in fact, I got two emails, asking how can I buy that DVD that you talked about on the show the other night, and you showed clips of it about the petroglyphs. Well, it's not for sale, all right? The only way you can get it, and we only printed up 25 of those, the only way you can get it is if you make a donation to the show of $20 or more, we'll send it to you as a thank you gift. How do you donate? Well, you go to my website, and you click on the button that says donate. That simple, all right? And then we will mail it to you. I think, I don't know what the count is right now. I think we have, right before the show, it was 15 left, and I believe it's 14 is the actual count. So if you want it, that's how you get it, and you got to hurry because when they're gone, I am not going to produce any more of those or print up any more of those. I think it's called burn. I'm not going to burn any more of those. For several weeks, when our online store opens, then we'll put it in the online store and you'll be able to buy it. All right, a couple of other emails quickly had to do with the flash feature. And people saying, you know, well, you didn't say that you were opening up Flash during the show. It's open 24 hours a day. All you have to do is send an email. But you do have to be outside of the United States, and you have to be outside of Canada. If you're in the United States or you're in Canada, use the telephone number that we'll put on the screen for you later. But Flash is open every night. It's open 24 hours a day. All right? Years and years ago, centuries ago, millennia ago, people were seeing what today we call UFOs. Alexander the Great saw them. Several Roman generals and Caesars have seen them. The Egyptians saw them, the ancient Egyptians. They've been around a long time. And then just a few years ago, a guy by the name of Ed Grimsley, when he was a young boy, was out on a camping trip with his family, and with his dad, and with some other boys, and they saw UFOs. It captivated his attention, because as he watched these strange objects in the sky, they seemed to be firing beams of light at each other. Well, these days, Ed Grimsley watches and videotapes lots and lots of UFOs through night vision equipment. Now, some people might say, well, anybody can use, you know, CGI. Anybody can get their computer and doctor up video and make it look a certain way. Ed takes people out there with him and lets them look through the night vision equipment. And they see them. Tonight, My guest is Ed Grimsley. He's been with us before. He's back with us again. Ed, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Ed, you have captured, I guess, the attention of a lot of major talk show hosts. You have captured the imagination of lots of people in the public, as you have captured UFOs on video. Now, when I was telling the story about in the introduction about you as a young boy being out camping and seeing this, how old were you?
Well, on the camping trip, I was 16, and that was in the year of 1961, Thursday night, just before the deer season would have started on Saturday morning, and it was getting camp ready and that, and that was when it took place, and I woke everybody up in my campsite and the campsite next to me, and they were all believers.
All right, now, these UFOs that you saw at that time, would they have, do you think they were out in space, or were they in the Earth's atmosphere?
They were definitely in space, close, but still in space. It was dark night, and I first saw them around close to 9 o'clock, and last saw them around 5:30. But their shininess and the glow of them would appear to be almost like a satellite, although in that time there was probably only 5 satellites or so in the air in 61. And
I can remember back when we first started, I remember when Sputnik was put up, but I remember when we started having satellites. It was a big deal, and sometimes on the news, the local news on television, they would report that the satellite is, you know, a certain satellite is going to be flying over us, our area, be visible from our area tonight at a certain time if you want to get out and watch it. And, you know, people would go out and watch. You'd see people standing out in their front yards looking up to see because it was so new.
I was one of those people that was out looking for them. You know, the curious guy, and, you know, the satellites, just that they can go so fast and go through space, and that back in those days, that was pretty amazing. So,
satellites fly in a straight line.
Pretty much. I think there may be a small amount of maneuvering with some hydrogen peroxide to steer them off course, a little direction, spy satellites, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they can move them around, but unless they're moving one, it just flies in a straight line. You don't see it do any loops. You don't see it do any 90-degree turns and things like that. Now, what you were watching that night on the camping trip, were they doing some pretty strange maneuvers?
Oh, absolutely. If I had one of those, I could fly anywhere I wanted. I wouldn't want to fly into one of their battles, though. Yeah, these things were usually in groups of threes, like a squadron of three, and some came from one direction and some from the other, and they would make head-on runs at each other, and they would fire on one another as they were passing through each other, and then start firing immediately as they were going back. They would fire in the front, and then as they went to the rear, they would fire back at each other. And they would always break to the left and turn a big circle, which would put both of them into a circle. And then they would tighten that circle and fire across.
All right, now, you are talking about them firing. What did you see? Was it beams of light you saw?
Oh, yeah, you could see the thing at I mean, you could see the streak go out, and if it hit one, it would blow it up, and if it missed, you'd see it streak and go past and on into space. So it dissipated.
Have you seen the video? It's pretty famous. It was taken by the space shuttle, and I forget which mission it was, which STS it was.
Is that the one where there's a possible craft coming in one way and another one coming out at it? And
you see a streak of light go across? And
yeah, and it darts away and goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wondered if you'd seen that. Now, is that what it looked like?
That is what it looked like. And I definitely tell you that that was one craft coming in, probably didn't belong there, and the other one came to run him off. And he maneuvered and flew out, probably had a clip device, and you'll notice that the beam fired on where he should have been, but it went on past, and you see the distance in the long range of it, but probably a 25, 30-mile distance that that beam went. And it's definitely, you see the beam fire and all that. I've studied that picture a number of times, and you know, you see it on some nights out watching, not all nights. You see that kind of thing happen. But you see them go at it with each other, where they, literally one blows up and the other one flies away. And it's always a base, because I think they have some kind of code that they don't fight lower than space, because any debris would come in and scatter on the Earth. And up high, the debris will continue in the direction it was going when it gets blasted, and it'll dissipate and fall in somewhere around the Earth at another time and look like a little piece of space junk or a meteorite. You'll never know the difference.
Okay, now Ed, you this camping trip, I believe, how old were you?
On that camping trip, I was
16. I'm sorry, 16?
16.
Yeah. All right, now, at what point did you begin looking into space with night vision equipment? Why did you start looking into space with night vision equipment?
Well, I believe it was in 97, it might have been 98. I went to Nevada to see a gun show and look at some hunting equipment. That I always wanted night vision, but I always thought that if they're out there, I should be able to see them with night vision. So I spent $3,900 and hoped I didn't get beat over the head when my wife got me back home. And on my way going back from Reno up over Downer Summit and to head down, I pulled over in the white spot at nearest lodge, right up at the top, and I don't know if it's called Boral Ridge or something similar, but anyway, it was a white area. I pulled over and I got the glasses out and put them up and started focusing and adjusting. And here come a craft flew right in front of me. Just, it was, I thought, oh boy, that is so, I mean, they're there, they're still here. You know, they haven't disappeared. And then I was looking up higher, and there was one chasing another, similar to what I saw back in 61. And the one fired going forward, and the forward one fired back, and then the one firing forward again fired and took the other one out.
And you saw this through your night vision glasses?
The night vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you could even see it much better than you could. You could see the rays and everything much better than you could back one. With the naked eye, because it was very clear. Sierra night where it's dark and all those clouds are not in the way or anything. It's just nothing but the object flying and the silver of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's an amazing thing.
So you just took your brand new night vision equipment out and said, okay, here's a wide spot for me to pull over. I'll just pull over and try this night vision equipment out and see if I can see anything out there. But you out there meant you were looking for deer.
No, not really looking for deer. I was just looking to see if I could see any craft. But although these things are so handy because you can go for a ride out in the country and look out through the window and out into the dark and you next to the road and the highway and that, you can see coyotes running around and that. I've rode a four-wheeler on some country roads and I've literally almost ran over a mountain lion that didn't know what was going on and I had no headlights on and he was like scooting along trying to do it and I almost ran him over. So I'm real glad I didn't. But these things are awesome.
All right. Now, just regular night vision equipment, the cheap stuff, is not going to work, right?
Not really. I mean, let me put it this way. It might work in your backyard a little bit. It might look up and see a little elevation. You might be able to see a bird in a tree or something like that. But to really get out there and look, you need higher quality. And you're not going to get that unless you spend the money. The one I find the best is the PVS 7's Generation 3. And people have to be very careful now because there are a lot of people putting Generation 2 in a Generation 3 frame and advertising it as PV7s and just like, oh, there it is. And basically, they're basically scamming you. And you don't see as good with the 2s as you would with the 3. And so, therefore, you're not going to see the distance quality. But I have a guy that I've been getting glasses through, and his name is Mike, and it's on my website. And if you call him, this guy is really honest. He'll help you out, and you'll save several hundred dollars. I mean, he is helping the people, and it's, you know, super. He'll give you the right information. He won't mess you over with them equipment. And I think we've got him down to, like, where it could have been 39 at one time and then 37. He gives a Skywatch discount of, like, $3,200.
All right. Now, we've only got a couple of minutes here before we head into our next break. Let me ask you this. What is the most amazing thing to you that you have seen through those night vision goggles or lenses as you looked into space? What's the most amazing thing you ever saw?
Well, I've seen big motherships coming along with, like as if it was a big star flying across space and then slow up and wobble a little bit as it stabilizes and come to a stop. And I've seen other crafts, smaller ones, come over and enter into it about 45 minutes later, exit back out and go back out into space. And then I've also, we were at the Tesla, on a scientist there, and I'm gonna say about 200 miles up, I saw this. Had George Gavori help me?
And well, your audio is cutting out. We're
about 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that better?
That's better.
About 40 people there, and George Gavori was helping me with a camera to photograph, and we had several pair to spot, and we were showing people things and that, and I was pointing out to people, now those things over there, those are bats and those are birds, and, you know, giving people a lesson. And he and I saw this big mothership coming across. There's a mothership. Stop.
Okay, we have to take a break and we'll try to get your audio fixed here during the break. Alright folks, we'll be back more with Ed Grimsley right after this. We'll be right back. and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. We've worked on the audio just a little bit. It is not our system. It's not his system. There's some sort of interference there on the line. But we'll deal with it. We'll move forward here. Ed, I want to show a video. Now, this is from your website. This is just a piece from your website. I want to tell everyone that the quality of what you're going to see is not as good as the quality you will see on Ed's website. Copies never are as good as the originals unless they're digitally copied. And this, I won't get into how we do this, but it's good, you'll see. But it's better on his website, and there is a link on my site right next to Ed's picture. And if you click that, it'll take you to his website. All right, so after the show, go over there and look at all the videos that he's got. All right, let's just get over here and take a look at this. All right.
The new DVD movie you can order through there, too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay. Folks, as you are looking at your screen, for those of you who are watching our internet TV feed, you are seeing what Ed Grimsley videotaped through his night vision equipment. I'm not sure if it's binoculars or like a telephoto lens that's night vision.
Oh, but goggles.
Goggles, okay.
Two eyepieces and one exit.
How high, this is the raw footage, how high are these UFOs?
Now, those are about 250 miles up. The big silver one that has something trellising below it, that's probably around 150 miles, because it had came out of the ocean and was rising up to go to space when the deltas had came by and it tried to slow up and lay low.
All right. We're going to go to the next little clip here, because, folks, you're going to see a whole bunch of these things. Some of them are really bright, and some of them are not as bright. What's the deal with that, Ed? Do you know what's going on there?
It has to do with the angle that they're traveling and the sunlight hitting them. And some that will come in out of the darkness, and they'll rise up and hit more sunlight and become brighter, or they'll turn slightly and become more illuminated, and the glasses pick up the illumination.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Illuminati's, it's the illumination.
Now, what we can see, some of these appear to be basically circular in shape, and one or two of them appear to have a hole right in the middle, or a dark spot right in the center of them. And we've seen those on the videos that NASA shot of the Tether experiment, the circular UFOs that have that dark spot in the middle, and it makes them look kind of like a wheel or a donut or something. So are they all shaped that way, or do you have...
No, there's so many different shapes and sizes that it's amazing. And there's big ones that are big ovals, and then there's smaller ovals. And then there's a medium-sized one that almost looks like a football, chrome-plated football, you could say.
And well, what about these motherships? How are they shaped?
Well, most of them are shaped as a big spacecraft, saucer shape, and the ones that I photographed a couple weeks ago, I'm going to guess at they're probably 800 feet across and about 250 miles up at the near the end, and then they drop down into the darkness to go into the ocean.
So now, when you say go into the ocean, where are they going into the ocean? At what location on Earth?
Well, they're going into the Pacific. There's a town, if you look at it on the map, of Santa Rosa.
In California.
And yes, and in an ocean, a little place called Bodega Bay. They filmed The Birds there, the movie with Alfred Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
And between Calistoga and there's a line goes out there. If you went fairly straight line, and then at the end they started to angle and break left, like they were going to go towards San Francisco, but they were going down towards the ocean. And
have you actually witnessed these things enter the water?
Well, I've seen them line up in that, but there's a small footage of mountains that are in between me and being able to see the actual water. Going in, no. Coming out, yes. I've seen them come out off of Catalina Island. I've seen them come off of the coast of Kona, Hawaii, and out of a great big lake that's pretty deep up in Idaho, Priest Lake. I've seen one real nice size one come out of a lake and rise up, and water pushing and blowing all over in the middle of the night. You couldn't see anything, but with the glasses, seen it all. And then it rose up and then went on into space. So
now, have you videotaped any of those coming up out of the water?
The Hawaii, no. The lake, no. So basically I've videoed coming down to the water, but it's one of these things where you don't have $1 million to work with, and every time you just take a glance, sometimes you don't have the camera setting and mounted up on it, and you're just glancing around and bam, that's the time you see it. If you got the camera on it, you're lucky to see something, and when you do, you better be real fast getting the switches on and focusing and that. Some of the pictures on the website, I mean, I'm trying to focus in and find things 200 miles out with a 30-power lens hooked in behind on a camera, and people trying to direct me with other glasses, and it can be pretty hectic.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at it. I guarantee you, in my movie, the kind of a documentary movie there, over Albuquerque, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of, I'm going to say, 200 miles. We have seven of them flying a formation about 180, 200 miles up, somewhere in there. And they are deliberately unloaded out of a big mothership. And they're flying off like a squadron. And there's two in the lead, two behind, and then there's three in back of it. And then in the last part, we see one come out late. And it's flying real fast, trying to play catch-up.
This is in your DVD, right?
It's on the DVD. And then we've been able to zoom in and magnify that, and you can see the light disc and the energy form. And it's pretty amazing. It's great footage. If I was smart, I'd have probably just sold it to some big TV station instead of trying to put it in my movie. But I want the world to know the truth and get it out there. So that's what I'm doing.
How many minutes is this DVD?
I believe it's about 90 minutes, but you know who Jose Escamilla is with the rods and the orbs and UFO, the greatest story ever denied, and he's got a lot of work out.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Roger Lear, through meeting him, I was introduced to Jose Escamilla to work with and maybe do some movie work and some of the things that I could do. And so we made contact, and we've been working together now for close to a year. And we're doing a movie, putting it together. It's called Moon Rising. and it's got a lot of things that's not going to be good for NASA, but they'll probably learn to hate us.
Well, you never know.
I'll tell you what,
there are a lot of people...
They want to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are a lot of people at NASA that would like to just come out and tell what's going on, but, you know... we've got that law that says if they do, they're in huge trouble, and they can go to prison, and in fact, and lose their pensions, and in fact, I think that there is a provision of that law that says they actually can be held incommunicado. I think they can
take them away and don't even give them a trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are a lot of people there that would like to tell, but can't.
Yes, I think so. I think mm-hmm. so. I think Edgar Mitchell is trying to get a little truth out there, but he's not telling at all, and I don't think he'd live very long if he did. And there's just certain rules that you can't break with that establishment. And there's a lady in the video that I did a little interview, and I mean, I am a terrible interviewer, and I just kind of sat there like a bump on a log. I'm the boring part of it. But she tells her story about her husband and how his father used to be with the International Space Program, and he was for a while, and he flew captured spacecraft and back-engineered spacecraft and had been out in deep space many times on missions and doing battle. And a big battle over China, and one out beyond the moon a long ways where there was a good-sized force coming in, and they went out to meet it. And then they had a second line of defense in closer. And I guess he tried to quit. And I don't know all the details, but we're trying to get money up and get him a lawyer and that. He's been in prison 25 years for... supposedly killing his best friend with a screwdriver. And even though he was proof that he was nowhere around, he was elsewhere doing other things, that's kind of stuck with him. And the kid that said that he hired him to kill him is now saying he was forced into that. And they're...
So his accuser is now saying that he was forced into making that accusation.
Right. And trying to lay blame on that man. So there's so much of it. And his wife is Joanne Richardson, and she does the Earth Defense League. And I tell you, I'll put you in touch with her when I can, but you need to find this story out because there's a lot of bad out here in the world, and some of it is... in our government, and some of it's running our government. And
so who do you think in these, well, let's see, I don't know how much time we've got here. Okay, I'm going to ask this question, but I'll get you to answer it when we come back after the break, all right? The question is, when you look through those lenses and you see all these UFOs out there, who do you think is flying those? Is it us? Is it the aliens, or is it some other country? And we'll get to that answer when we come back. We'll be back more with Ed Grimsley right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Ed Grimsley, and we're talking about these really impressive, I think, videos that he's taken using night vision goggles. And we're going to show another one, but I want to answer that question we asked just before the break, Ed. When you look through these night vision goggles out into space and you see all of these UFOs and you videotape these things, who do you think is flying those? Is it us? Is it extraterrestrials? Or is it some other country?
Okay. I think that it's possible that it's us and that we have an allied that is alien type, or they've been on this earth for a million years and just kind of watching us and maybe looking after us, maybe even their, what we would say was our guardian angels. Instead of feathers, they have spacecraft. But I also see certain sizes of craft and shapes that now these craft, they go against those. And there's some other shaped crafts they don't go against. They'll kind of like give a little wiggle and off they go, and they're like, you know, patrolling. And I've seen in my video there's a large silver ship, and it's got something trellised underneath as if it was a helicopter carrying a fire bucket. And I think
that... Yeah, and that's, by the way, you'll see that when you go to Ed's website and watch the videos that are there. It's most definitely not a helicopter, but I understand what you're saying. It looks like it's got something under it in the way that a helicopter carries a large fire bucket.
So that's, and it's kind of a rare thing to see a spacecraft carrying a cargo under trellis. And when it came out from the ocean area and was rising up, coming up over Calistoga, climbing out towards space, and there was so much stuff going on that night that we saw 20 or 30 in the first part of that night, and some were deltas flying by on patrol, some were bigger ships, some were smaller ships. Later that night, I put everything away, went down and opened my gate and was letting some of the viewing people that were my friends out, was walking back, picked up the glasses, no camera, nothing else. Just picked up my glasses, looking around, and here comes three of them, and they did battle with two. And the two got hammered, and the three were deltas, these fast-moving things that I believe are ours.
Now, when you say delta, you mean the shape of them is, it's a delta wing shape.
Well, it's kind of, it's not quite a wing, and it's not quite a saucer. It's, if you took what was the B-1B bomber or the Concorde jet and you changed the nose of it a little bit and the back end of it a little bit, and you have a big upright stabilizer, which is the tail of it. I've flown before, and that's kind of a stabilizer thing. So this has a tail, and sometimes if they maneuver just right, you can see the tails when they're flying, and you can see the outlines of them. And those things can really haul. They can...
All right, now, I have a clip from your site. Now, what I'm going to show that, and it shows a delta that you're talking about. It's the clip where you've superimposed a white arrow on the screen to point it out.
Four of them.
Yeah, just to point out where it is.
There's four way back in the background, and they're coming way out behind it, and the big ship that's trellising, the silver one, that's out in front. That's closer and at a lower level. And
now, this let me comment on this video that they're watching on screen now.
Okay.
What you see first, and don't panic, it's going to repeat, all right? What you see first is through the night vision goggles. It's green in the background. That's just the way night vision goggles are. And you have to look carefully. I'm going to let it run several times. You have to look carefully at the front of that arrow, on the right side of that arrow. And after the green, we see the same video in black and white. And you can see that there's something right in front of that arrow, and it's moving across very rapidly. He's following it. In the black and white, if you watch carefully, you every once in a while, you just get a quick glimpse that it's a delta shape. And it appears to be moving a whole lot faster, Ed, than everything else in the screen.
They move so fast, they're unbelievable. They probably cruise and patrol at about 70,000, 80,000 miles an hour. a satellite at, 20,000, 23,000 miles an hour, and it's up pretty high, and it'll take about a minute and a half to cross the sky from as far as you can see one direction to as far as you can the other, and even NASA and the reports of the satellites tell you about that. And these things close that same distance in 5 to 7 seconds.
Wow.
I figure they're traveling around 5,000 miles up there. So
they cover a distance of around 5,000 miles, and they're doing it in 5 to 7 seconds. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. We have a number of people that get lucky, and they get to see some deltas come by, and they're almost like a ghost ship. They have a treatment on them that doesn't reflect the light as well, almost like a coating.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll maneuver, and if there's going to be a battle, there'll be, say, three in their normal formation, and they're flying across, and there'll be another one that'll be trailing them a few miles back, and he's like a tail guard. And if there's going to be a battle, these other ones kind of spread apart a little bit, and then they slow up. And the other one from the back takes off, and almost like he streaks out of sight, like you can barely see him leave, and where did he go? And he takes off, and the other three will then start to turn in the opposite direction of where he took off. And then, pretty soon, you'll see a couple of oval types that they fight against, the size and the shapes. And these guys go off like a little decoy. And as they're coming in, then the deltas start to speed up. And then when the other ones speed up, as they're thinking, oh boy, we got them on the run or whatever, the other one that took off earlier, a couple seconds earlier,
mm-hmm.
he comes in from behind at a strange angle. And he just accelerates so fast that you can almost not see him coming. And he blasts those things and takes them out easily. If I'm ever going to be a spacecraft pilot, I want to be a Delta pilot, because they got some wicked equipment. And I think they're ours, and they've been upgraded and engineered, and they're just awesome.
Any idea how long we've had these up there, if they indeed are ours?
Well, the Delta-type ones, I started seeing their activity about 5 years ago. And the other activity I used to see was more oval shape. And there's one that is pretty unique, and it looks like, you know how you rack a pool table up and there's a sort of a rail around it and you put the balls inside and shapes it in a V?
Yeah.
Well, there's something like that, and it's all hollowed out in the center. You can actually, looking up, you can see stars up through the center of it. And it will have 3 points. And it's pretty maneuverable, because if it's zooming along in one direction, all of a sudden it's going the other way, and that other angle is now the point again. And it just like goes, any one of those points can go. Where flying saucers are round, and they can break and go fast and that. I don't know if it's okay to mention other radio show people, but
sure, I'm not nervous about that.
Okay. You probably even know him personally, but I was picking on George Norrie all the time, trying to get him to come out and let me show him some spacecraft. He said, well, yeah, okay, sometime we'll do that, miss now. So after about the fourth or fifth time of being around places where he was and I was picking on him, I said, okay, you're coming up tonight, George. And he says, oh, well, you know what, I'll do that. And so we went up on the roof. A bunch of people went up on the roof, and I was showing them a lot of activity, and they were just amazed. And somebody looked around and says, George isn't here. And I says, well, go down and get him. And this girl and a guy ran downstairs, and they come back up, and George was following them. And he says, I didn't know where you were. And I says, well, you found us now. Showed him a pair of glasses, and I says, let me help you spot one.
We're going to have to get to the rest of that story after this break. I know how this turns out, but I want you to tell the folks about it. And yeah, I'm not nervous about other radio shows being mentioned as long as someone doesn't call in and use my show as free advertisement for another show, or I don't like for folks to call in and just be critical of another show. They got their thing to do. We got ours. But just talking about George Norrie, that's not a problem. We'll be back, folks, more with Ed Grimsley right after this. And we are back. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm your host, Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, and we will in just a moment be opening up the telephone lines. As I said at the top of the show, those of you that are sitting around waiting for me to tell you that Flash is open, it's email, folks. That runs 24/7. If you are outside of the United States, you're outside of Canada, you can use our Flash message. It is the only email that I read during the show. Okay? So if you're sending me other comments, I won't read them. I won't even see them till after the show. But if you are outside of the USA, you're outside of Canada, you send me a Flash message, I'll see it during the show. But we'll get to Flash messages and to our phone lines in just a moment. Now, you were telling us about you had been trying to convince George Norrie to come take a look through the lenses. That's kind of like Galileo. He kept trying to get the clergy and the archbishop and everybody to look through his telescope. He never succeeded, but apparently you succeeded in getting George Norrie to look through your night vision goggles.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to figure him as Pope George. and I don't know if I look like Galileo or some other star chaser, but...
Well, he had a beard.
George looked up and was looking through the glasses, and I pointed the laser up on a spacecraft that I had seen, and I said, "There it is. It's moving really fast, way too fast for a satellite." And I said, "That's about 150 miles, 200 miles up." And George says, "Okay, I see it. Yeah, yeah." And he says, "Is it slowing down?" I says, "You're right. It's slowing down." I says, "Oh, good. Maybe it's going to stop." And he says, "Wobbling." And I go, "Yeah, it's probably gyroing or whatever, and it's slowing up. It's going to stop." And we were watching it, never took our eyes off of it, but I had watched many of them stop, so I knew their trick. So I said, "Keep an eye on it." He goes, "Where'd it go?" And I said, "It stopped." And he says, "Where?" He's looking for it. And I pointed the laser, and I said, "That's the craft. Now there's a big star there and a big star there, and that's the craft in between. And we'll keep an eye on it and see when it starts out again." But I says, "I don't think satellites can do that." And he says, "I don't think so either." So he looked around, and he was looking in another direction, and he saw one. And I was keeping an eye on the other thing, and he saw one that he picked up on himself, and it made a big loop and a big cut off out and a sharp turn and just was gone. And it could have been a delta, I don't know, whatever, because they're 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 7 seconds, depends on how close or where you see them. So George is looking, and he hands the glasses to Tommy, his engineer man, and whatever, I don't know his details, but Tommy's looking around, and Tom sees one. And then George is looking with his naked eye, and he says, "You just can't see anything, and they're out there, and then you see them." And so somebody handed him a pair of glasses. I says, "George, this one's starting to go. He's leaving. Hurry up, hurry up." And he was trying to get a pair of glasses from somebody, turned back, and this thing had left and flown away. But it was no longer that other star that it looked like between the other two stars. So he said, "Where is it?" I says, "Well, it's almost gone now, but look at that star and that star and remember where it was? He says, yeah. He says, that's not there anymore. And I go, have you ever seen a star leave?
Oh, that's good.
Going, George is looking at me, and he's going, phew, this is amazing. I should have came out here sooner.
All right, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open up the telephone lines. The telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And if you have a question or a comment for our guest, Ed Grimsley, you may dial that telephone number, 602-539-9580. Now, are you in touch, Ed, with people from other parts of the world that in other parts of the world are doing the same thing you're doing? They're looking up into the heavens with these night vision goggles. Are you in touch with others around the world like that?
They didn't used to be, but they've called me, communicated. Some people have heard me from your show. I've got people from New Zealand. I've got people from Russia, Switzerland, and all over. And they're getting glasses, and they're looking. And I'm starting Skywatch clubs all over the world right now, and helping people find glasses. And it's really good. I think that we'll probably have clubs all over the world soon, and people can look us up and then show up at one of the Skywatches. But one of the things I wanted to say real quick is...
Okay. And we have callers holding, so we have to be quick.
Okay. Real quick. The Laughlin Conference is the last week in February, and I'll be one of the main speakers there opening up. And they've made arrangements where we're bringing in night vision glasses, and we're going to be a little out of town, and we're going to be waiting, and I'll have a crew of night vision people there, and they're going to bring vans from the conference out to show them, and we're going to have a TV hooked up and a camera, and we're going to show the world some good things. And
outstanding.
Yeah.
All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington. How are you?
Outstanding, Ryan. Thanks for asking.
Hey, Ed. How are you doing tonight?
How you doing?
Boy, I tell you, this is strange. I definitely believe there's something to this, and the reason why.
Are you Ryan that I have glasses to?
According to Philip Corso, who wrote the book Dapped to Roswell, we back engineered these from crashed UFOs, which is to me is kind of an interesting coincidence. Knowing that, according to him, these were back engineered, and I definitely think there's something going on because this is a place in Washington called the Gilliland Ranch, which is down there by Mount Adams. And I wanted to ask him if he had ever chance to have been out there because I've always kind of never really given much credence to that until a little while ago when I listened to Glenn Kimball, who was a guest on your show, Kevin. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. What about that, Ed?
He's not even a UFO guy. And he described seeing huge triangular craft hovering over Mount Adams to use it to power up. And
okay, let's let Ed answer. Have you ever been up to the Gilliland Ranch?
Yeah, I've been there.
I don't know what that noise is.
The phone just fell over.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought we were getting some help out there.
I was moving. I ran out of leash.
All right. Let's.
Gillian Lance. I spent a couple of days there. He has a lot of activity up there. There's a lot of good sightings. He had no glasses there when I went up, and I showed people. There was probably 50, 60 people around. I showed them with my glasses and let everybody borrow them, and they got to see a lot of activity. And so James and I were talking about, he says, Scotty's got to get him a pair of those. And so I found a pair that was used, and so So I got him a deal and passed him on, and he paid for them. And so I know he's got at least one pair, and he's got a lot of activity up there.
Yeah.
And but he had told me at that time he has never seen a battle, and that the, his connection, they've been pretty much passive and loving ships and craft, and, you know, and I think that's probably true. I've seen a lot of ships pass near each other and be friendly, but I see other things going on too, and so I'm not saying that they're all hostile, but there's something going on, and it's definitely a battle.
Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hello, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, and hello, Ed. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, so my question is, are you aware of perhaps some of the Project Paperclip stuff and that that the U.S. military has some back-engineered alien technology, UFOs and whatnot, and that perhaps the battles that we're seeing up in the atmosphere are actually battles between our UFOs and alien UFOs? And I'll take your answer off there, but before I do that, I would like to take the time to congratulate Art Bell on his induction into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
So I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, those craft that I see battling, I'm pretty sure that some of it's ours and some of it's alien, but I think we also have some aliens that are with us, and I think that we have some help on doing it. I'm just hoping that it's the good guys battling to keep the bad guys out and not the bad guys battling to keep the good help out.
Yeah.
And I've been worried for a long time that why it's so secret and so hidden in NASA is that there's a lot of talk around about NASA and Nazi and things like that. And in one of my things, I've actually got a picture of a swastika on a NASA tool that they're using on the moon, and zoomed it in and found it and got it photoed in. And the movie that Jose Escamilla and I are doing, Moon Rising, we likely will have that picture in, and want to ask NASA
what's that doing up there? Yeah. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay. Apparently the caller is not there. All right, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. And if you have a question or a comment about what you've seen and heard here this evening, please feel free to call 602-539-9580. If you are outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, feel free to send me a flash message. And we have one here from Justin in Australia. And it says, Kevin, I have a question you may want to ask your guest. How does he know they are shooting at each other? Could they be just communicating with each other?
Well, it'd be pretty rough communication because when they're firing, they're chasing, they're firing back, they're firing forward, and usually when they engage, one of them goes boom and blows up, and it's a big flash. Looks like a firecracker going off in space. And I've even seen rescue capsules that blow out of the craft that got hit, and they have a strobe light on it. And I've seen other craft come in, fly cover for them, circle them, and then one go in, pick it up, and end up that they will haul it away, and the other two will pull out. One goes behind, one goes in front, and they off out through space they go, and usually heading out into deeper space, like as if they were heading out towards the moon or someplace, not dropping in closer to Earth. So I'm real sure that it's not a communication. I mean, it's a it's a big blast. And if you look at the NASA thing, you'll see a laser blast go across the screen, and you'll see the other craft split and leave, and the beam goes where he would have been. And that's kind of a little living proof right there of that somebody's fighting with somebody.
NASA said that's ice crystals.
Well, NASA said they went to the moon, and they said a lot of things, but when you look and examine their things and you find no rocket blast under the thing, I find a stick on the moon in a crevice that they walked by. I see Pinocchio or Howdy Doody on some of their footage that's been inlaid, a little van that's like a little Chevy van or a Ford van that's inlaid into some crevices and stuff. And when you zoom it in and forensic it, you can see what it is and how.
Uh-huh.
And that tells me that some of the artists that helped prepare the moon didn't like the fact that there was a lie going on.
And so we have a caller holding, so we need to move to the phone.
They put objects in there so that somewhere, sometime, when you got the good equipment, the good computers, you could zoom in and find that these artists have this stuff there.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Elias. I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Elias, are you a first-time caller?
No, I call in frequently, and I'm the guy who always says I still miss the cowbells.
Oh, okay. I found it. When I moved the studio, I found the cowbell. What's on your mind?
Bring it back.
Okay.
But I had a couple questions. I know that Ed mentioned earlier the model of the night vision goggles that he prefers. I was wondering if he could mention that again.
All right. Ed?
Yeah, I can give it here. It's a PVS-7, Generation 3. If you look on my website, I got a little sign across there, and it gives a phone number and a man called Mike, and he's an expert at it. He owns the business, and he gives people a break if they mention my name and they're looking to get night vision.
And okay, PVS-7, Generation 3.
Right.
Okay, great. The other question I had was, does he think he gets a better result out of goggles as opposed to, say, like the monocular kinds or like the scope kinds?
I get better results out of the PV7s that have two eyepieces and one entrance because I can focus one eye different than the other. So if your eyes are a little different, you can focus them and get them in, and you can focus the end one, and you get a good wide view, and you can really pick up things moving good. And so the single eye piece with a single exit, it just doesn't give you as much as the two-piece does. And I am able to take some cameras and adapt them and use the MacGyver method with a little duct tape and a PVC fitting to go between. I put cameras on like a Sony, tape it in, get it secured, and have a hard drive on it, and change the zoom on it, plug it into a television, and I can have people watching the television and standby. I can push the button and I'll be recording, and it's pretty nice. I've had something like 70 people watching a TV screen with a camera hooked in at a conference, and they got to see some things. And
does that answer your question, Elias?
It does very well, Kevin. Thanks very much. You gentlemen have a great evening.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, folks. We would be glad to thank you for your call. All you have to do is make it. And the telephone number is 602-539-9580. I think that when people take a look, I've given them a little sample here this evening, just a taste, a few seconds out of the raw footage that you provide on your site. And I think when people take a look at what you've got, and now what I was showing over our video feed here, I had the audio turned off, But whenever they watch on your site, they will hear your comments and people that were with you and their comments, and they can realize that what they're looking at is genuine. It's not something that's been made up. It's not something that's been cooked up in the computer lab. And you can see and hear, and you will see and understand that it's the real thing. Now, the question is, how often can you see UFOs? I mean, is it once a month, every week, every night? How often can you see UFOs when you go out and stare into the heavens with these night vision goggles?
Well, every time I meet people and I take them out, I show them. And sometimes you'll see 8 or 10. Sometimes you'll see 90 or 100. And it depends on the time of night. You get your best results at first night because we're closer to the Earth and the sunlight will hit them down lower than it will if we rotate on around and the sun is further out hitting on the Earth and we're kind of on the backside. And so your best watching time is early night and early morning. So if you're out there at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning and it's going to get daylight at 7, you're going to see, and then when it starts to get light, your vision will go away. But you're going to see more earlier in the morning and in darkness, and you're going to see them early in the night. But there is things you can see during the late night or midnight, but less often and higher up because the sunlight has to hit them higher up. So I have never been skunked, and I should knock on wood, but the only time I've not been able to see something, if we're out and the clouds come in or it's raining, and you know, that's to be expected. But there is always some satellites that come around, and when you understand how a satellite moves, how the speed is, and how it's going to move across, and then you see the spacecraft moving across and on patrol, satellites don't fly side by side in groups of threes. They don't fly three in a row a mile apart and then one break off to the left and one break off to the right and the other one goes straight ahead. These are patrol craft. And our planet is being patrolled. Rather, it's some of our government. Rather, it's aliens cooperating with us. I don't know. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see a big battle, I think it's some trying to get in. And are they good guys or bad guys? I don't know.
All right, so you see these virtually every time you go out.
Yeah, you got to know where to look and how. I mean, I'm sitting out there, and a guy comes up with a new pair of glasses, and he got them out of Big Five or someplace that he paid $390 or something for, and he says, oh, these are the best they could get me. I looked at him and says, well, you might be able to see a few stars in that, but or maybe something, but, you know, you go ahead and look, and we'll look, and I'll see something, and I'll hand you a pair of mine, and you look through yours. And he was looking through his, and I said, there's two of them flying side by side. Where? Where? Nah, you're kidding me. So I said, here, and I put a laser up, showed it, and he looked through my glasses, and he goes, oh, my God.
He's, how much do your, well, we're into a break. We'll get into what they cost when we come back. All right, folks, we'll be back. More with Ed Grimsley right after this and your telephone calls. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, and we're talking about how he has been able to get these videos that I've been sharing, just a few seconds of the video with you, through night vision goggles. These are videos of things flying in space near Earth. And he describes having seen them do battle out there and flying in formation. If you watch the video that's on his site, you will see them in formation. And so these are not ice crystals. These are not, these are not flares. These are not F-16s on maneuver. Whatever they are, they certainly are anomalous. Ed, before we went to break, I was about to ask you, because you mentioned the price of some goggles that a guy brought out to look up into the sky. And he said, well, he paid about $390 for them, and that was the best they could get him. And he couldn't see anything, and then he looked through yours, and he could see UFOs out there. How much do yours cost?
Well, some of the pairs I bought for $3,900, and then sales taxes, and I've bought a pair for $36, and now I'm getting some for $32. Because I've hooked up with Mike, and he knows I have a cause. I'm on a mission. And he hooks up people that are, like, doing this Skywatch and this and gives them a discount. And if you're out of state, you save sales tax. And if you're in California, there's a way that we can help you.
All right. Now, let me ask you this. These $3,900 ones, are they just more expensive, or are they actually technically much better than, say, something half that price?
They're the top. They're the top. They're the ones that you need, can see. Cheaper models, there's less grade. There's Generation 2s. There's Generation 1s. They're next to nothing. They're expensive, they're tight, but the government is even talking about not letting civilians have the Generation 3s because you see too good, and I think they want to keep you in the dark. Now, they're talking about not allowing people to get them, and there's even some people that are selling them, and the government's trying to put the squeeze on them. Don't sell to the civilians. We want law enforcement and military to have them. And when that's going on, it tells you there's something wrong with them wanting you to know the truth or see it.
All right, now people can go to your website and get the information on how and where to get these night vision goggles. You have
my web is www.edgrimsley.com.
All right.
Now, on all the other shows and that, I tell people, if you want to call me between 9 in the morning and 9 at night. And I have people really surprised when I answer the phone, because they say, my God, you're not a recording. What it is I'm trying to get the truth out to the people. Since this is going on in the last few months, I'm not trying to blow smoke, but I have become a celebrity, and I've got people all over the world doing what I say and looking with night vision, and they're amazed. They're seeing what I'm telling them. And, you know, when I get emails from Finland, when I get phone calls from Japan, when I get phone call from Russia, and there's a physicist there, and he's coming to America, and he wants to change his trip, and can he come by and see night vision? And I take him out, and I show him, and he gets to see, like, 60 craft. And it just totally blows this well-known Russian scientist away. And now he's trying to get glasses over there, and he wants me to fly over and teach his group how to do it, and they'll start a Skywatch Club in Russia. So it's like,
are they going to let him have these over there?
Yes, he'll have to have Russian versions, and there's private people get them, but he's applying, and he gets a permit because it's going to be scientific. And if he tells them he's going to night watch and bird watch and, you know, study a lot of things, but just don't say I'm going to look at top secret UFOs, he'll probably be able to get a few pair. And they are, there's a black market of just about anything you want in Russia right now. And there are people that can order from Russian connections that live in other countries. And they have some good quality. There's even some good quality coming out of Japan. But, you know.
All right, Ed, I want to make sure that everyone hears the details about your DVD. Because I know that the DVD contains a whole lot more and a whole lot better video than what we see in on your site. And there's nothing wrong with the video that's on your site. It's good video, but you've got a much improved technique in the DVD.
Yeah.
Tell us what's in the DVD. What are we going to see?
Well, in the DVD, you're going to see some of the stuff about what's happened, where I have came from, and how I'm trying to get this out to the world. And you're also going to see an interview with a lady who's telling you that her husband's in prison because he quit being a UFO pilot, flying a back-engineered rig and one that had been captured, and that he's been in prison 25 years, and his father is gone, he's died, and he used to work for the International Federation of Space and flew on a lot of missions and to deep space and did battles over China when there was an invasion coming in. And, you know, I'm telling you that there is so much going on, and by opening my phone up to people, you would not believe the information I have gotten from the different directions. I even have a man who's in his 70s, does not want to be told name or type, but he's going to give me an interview. I've got to cover his face, and he was a spacecraft pilot for a long time, and his craft was injured out in space quite a ways out, and he wasn't getting his power up to where he could keep up with the rest of the group, and there was two of his came in and sort of like gave him a push and were helping move him closer to Earth while others were staying back and battling so that they could cover him where he wouldn't get blown up because he couldn't maneuver well. And this man is 70-something years old, and he's told me details about battles that I never told him, how they move and the positioning and the head-on runs and the left-hand turns and the how they fire until they somebody goes down to a certain thing and they break out of the circle and that. And these are all details that I knew by seeing it. And when he talked to me and we interviewed, he told me the exact details that I saw in 1961. And likely he was in the battle that night.
Wow.
So there's some pretty hairy things out there, but I'm just hoping that whoever's protecting us or helping, whoever we're allies with, I think it's just, I hope we keep ending up on the top. And
now this guy, the 70-year-old guy that
He's in his 70s. He's
okay, well, in his 70s.
Back to your
this guy, is he, has he told you anything about who is fighting? Why are we fighting?
Yeah, well, basically he's telling me that there's so much more going on and that our governments know more about it. There has been alien visitations and that some aliens are friendly and some aren't, and that some are actually testing human beings, taking samples, crossbreeding, doing many experiments, just as if we would take a frog or another animal and crossbreed one type of dog to another dog and change it and basically there's aliens that are on our side that are more human looking. And my question to him was, if there's a black man and a brown man and a Mexican and a Chinese and an Irishman and a Scandinavian, basically, are they like all of us? Are we aliens? And have we been imported to here? Or are they from different parts of space and different galaxies and brought here to try to get along, and it's an experiment? And are we all being guarded and protected? What I see in these battles, and others are trying to get to us. And he told me that the only thing he could tell me is that I'm a lot closer than anybody else.
Hmm.
So, you know. Now, he's giving me a tape. And this tape is going to be a lot of the details. I'm asked to keep it where it's at, and then after his death, he has given me permission to play it for the world.
Now, is this an audio tape or a video tape?
It's an audio.
Mm-hmm. And I would assume then that this gentleman was at one time part of our one or the other branches of our military.
Yes, he was.
So
he doesn't want his exact age because they know who's been flying where and what, and they can look it up, find his age, and then figure out who's talking to me.
Is he afraid that they may kill him? Is that what he's afraid of?
Well, he says they'll take his retirement away for opening his mouth. He says they will probably terminate him in whatever manner, or they will put him out of commission, like give him a stroke or get him to the hospital and then make him a vegetable. And he also fears for his grandchildren.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's that is unfortunate that people have to fear that.
Nice.
I'm sorry?
He says that all the people in the government are not nice.
Well, yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's unfortunate that we, through various processes, we ultimately are responsible for those rules being in place. And ultimately, it will be we who take those rules away if they ever go away. We have to take a break. We'll be back, and we will be on Final Approach with Ed Grimsley right after this. We are back. We are on Final Approach, and that means we have only a few minutes left. We have a caller on hold, so let's go to the call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Charles in Albuquerque.
Hello, Charles.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's on your mind?
Oh, I heard Ed mention that he saw UFOs over Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Yes, they bailed out of a big ship at the. We were at the Tesla convention, and I had about 40 scientists and people looking in the courtyard by the swimming pool of a guest house or something like that hotel. And so many people were in shock because they just thought it was a nut running around saying there's UFOs, and they were at the Tesla convention. And it was over downtown Albuquerque, about 200 miles up, and they got to see the real deal. It's on my film. It's on the DVD. And if you want to see it, you go to the website, order a DVD, and there's also a treat going on. I have these units that I got a distributorship in to sell, but I like the PVC or PVS-7s better. And so this other vision, supervision, has a value of like $1,400, and I have one still in stock. And out of the first 1,000 people that order my DVD, I'm going to give that at a drawing.
So you'll take the first 1,000 people that order the DVD, you're going to do a drawing of their names, and someone out of that group is going to win a set of those glasses.
Right. You got a 1,000-to-1 chance.
Well, that beats Powerball.
That beats the lottery.
Yeah.
Well, I
over Albuquerque. Albuquerque is a good hot spot, and there is a lot of activity out there. And there's some places it isn't this much, but that's a lot of activity. That tape was recording on those 7 and an 8th one coming out of the craft late to catch up. But also there was 15 Deltas flew over that night in a squadron, and George was rewinding so he could play it over the screen for more people to watch when these other ones flew over, and he couldn't record them unless he ran it back and got it. So, you know, that's the way things go. I mean, you can't get them all. So,
Charles, did you have another question or comment?
Well, I think this would put a whole new face on the idea of government disclosure if we are having wars with them up there.
Yeah, it would maybe would explain why they don't disclose, but I would think if we're at war, they have to disclose.
They should.
Well, and
again,
they don't have to do anything.
Well, yeah. I guess that's true. Charles, thanks
for
the call.
Yeah, I bought one of those DVDs, and so maybe I'll get lucky.
All right.
Listen, call me sometime in the next couple of days, and I'll give you 10 minutes of my time one-on-one.
Okay.
All right, Charles. Thanks for the call. All right. Albuquerque is it's a pretty well-known hot spot for UFOs, but it's a little hotter if you have night vision, where you can look out into space and see what's going on out there. Now, these night vision goggles actually have the ability to zoom, right? I mean, like binoculars, you can zoom in on them.
No, they don't really have that, but you can buy an attachment that slides on the end to give you 3 power or 5 power, and they're expensive, the scoping. And you don't really need that much, because if you have a camera that has a zoom on it,
uh-huh,
and you mount it in the back and then you practice up a little bit and focus, you can zoom in, and then anything you have will be zoomed in closer you look at it in your film. Then you'll see it through the binocular, through one eye, and film through the other. And you'll get some good results. I've been experimenting with this thing, and I'm getting it down there, and people are calling me, and I'm giving them information. It's not like I'm worried about competition, because I'm trying to start this and get it done, and I'll help people to do it.
So you actually help start Skywatch clubs, right?
Yes, I'm doing that. I've got like 7 of them that are right now, and we're going to try to get 100 of them or so around the world. And if anybody buys binoculars from Mike and wants to, all they got to do is call me, and I'll tell them how to look, where they're going to see the craft the best on a moonlit night, There are tricks that I've learned over 11 years. And if it's a moonlight night, you think, oh, it's hard to run because of the moon? No. Turn your back to the moon and look everywhere but the moon, and it helps reflect more light on the spacecraft.
All right.
It's
little trick of the trade there.
Yeah, you know, what is really good is that your show and other shows that I've been doing and going to conferences and showing people, 30 people in a group, 80 people in a group, showing people UFOs, and now they know they're real, and I've got some credibility. But it's really amazing that a man called me in Finland, told me about a battle he saw with the cheap things that he had, but he could still see it. And he says, you know, we've got websites over here where people have taken your website, put with their stuff, and you're all over the world over here. He says, you're a celebrity. And I said, I don't feel like one. I still feel like me. And I go out and I take people out and I try to tell the truth, and it looks like it's working. So I feel good about that, and that in the near future, people are going to know the truth because this is working. On one website, I think I have got, I don't know how to run the numbers right now, but I go on my website and it says 700 and something thousand, and it's rolled over, I think, several times.
Yeah.
And one figure says there's 3 million, and then you take and you go on the website number and put the little dot on it and press the button. And last I looked, it was 22,176,000 hits.
Wow. Well, it certainly is something people are interested in. It's something that is, it's fascinating, because now, because of you discovering this use for these night vision goggles, now we can see things that are going on all around us out there that we didn't see before.
In the dark.
Yeah. And, you know, this is an important thing, an important point. Just because we don't see some things certainly doesn't mean they're not real. And here, with the aid of some technology, we can see where we could not see before. And, you know, I say all the time, this debate about whether UFOs are real, that's a dead debate. That's settled. All right, we've reached the end of the show. Ed, stay on the line with me for a moment. I want to thank you for being with us. Fascinating show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to call this one a wrap. I wish we had more time, but we don't. So we have to do this. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.